I'm good. What's going on in your world?
Oh, you know, same old, recording, blah, 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 writing. Same old, how are you? Because you've been running on all cylinders.
Oh yeah, just taking over companies just doing things like that. Nothing big. Meeting a whole slew of people who I'm now responsible for. So, nothing too important.
World dominance, but that's your style. That's your brand, baby.
Or at least my little corner of the world, right? But it's been great so far. The company that I have had the honor of now serving as CEO is filled with just these bright, brilliant young people who I'm just trying to keep up with, right? And so that's a good thing. So
Well, this is starting on a note of positivity. I say, let's podcast, baby.
enough of this positivity. Let's talk about the State of the Union and the
Let's
Grammys.
get mean. You're listening to Embark, Jack Monson, Liz Solar here to brighten up your day as we bring you down. Kind of all things to all people.
That could be the theme of 2023, right? Where everybody's sharing all of the positive memes and go get them and everything's great and wonderful, even though we all know that the world is pretty much on fire right
Yeah, but
now.
this is so off-brand for you because you are an optimist. So
I
I'm
am. You
calling
have to
BS
be.
on you. You are not. You're not doom and gloom. You're not.
No, I'm optimistic about that we're going to be able to fix it. I have a religious belief in success. That's my faith, is that like we will improve. Whatever is going on, it will improve. We will fix it. Everything will get better. Because I think if you don't think that way, why do you get out of bed in the morning, right? Just stay in bed. If that's the best it's going to get, don't get up. Just stay there. I don't know. I think I have to be that way. Sometimes people think I'm overly optimistic, and it just leads to this sort of blissfully ignorant situation. But I don't know. I don't want to live that way, though. I'd rather be optimistic and disappointed than just, pessimistic and be able to say, "See, I told you
Oh
so."
man,
Right?
you're a romantic. You're an idealist, Jack.
That's what they call me, romantic.
But you are, and just to get philosophical for a moment, I went through a very bad point in my life, and I lost my first spouse very quickly, and was in just life was not good, and I got into a bereavement group, and the woman who was hosting it. One day afterwards, I said, "Can things change? Is this going to get better?" And she had had her own, to say challenges is an understatement. And she said, "If I didn't think people could change, if I didn't have hope in the world, there's no way in good conscience I could do this work." But if you don't have hope, you have despair.
That's absolutely
That
true.
ain't working.
Absolutely.
That does not work. So
And it doesn't get you too far.
it doesn't. So let's be like not toxically positive, but let's be like enough to make people sick today.
Okay, good.
First of all, I want to say you never heckle the guy with a microphone. You never heckle the guy with a microphone.
As the great communicator once said, "This is my microphone, Mr. Senator, and I'm paying for
See,
it."
I love the way you were able to insert a quote from a famous GOP president in the midst
Of
of
course.
my stealing my thunder about doing my little victory dance about, hey, that was a pretty good State of the Union address.
That's what I do. But
You do.
I think the Republican loudmouths who were booing and hissing and shouting, they don't really understand sort of the first rule of when your enemy is sabotaging himself, let him go. Because that speech was, I'm sure our friends at NBC will say different, but that was a slurry, mucky, rambling speech that was going nowhere. And it's like, guys, shut up. Just let him be who he is and let him say what he's saying. Don't cause controversy. Just let it go. Let him hang himself. There are people in politics who just have to be the center of attention. Maybe that's why they got into politics, but they have to make it all about
Well, we know
themselves.
this Motley Crue. It's the most self-serving band of whatever marauders that you can think of. But I will say that I think that we were watching two different State of the Union addresses, and we had this talk before we started speaking today about, you know, are we so down with the State of the Union address? And we can talk about that, too. I thought he gave a pretty strong speech touching on the talking points that most people care about, bringing back jobs, infrastructure. He made a masterclass out of this by engaging. At first, I thought, I'm not sure whether he should engage with any of this. But basically, he's like, we're not going to touch Medicare and Social Security, right? We have an agreement on that.
We had that agreement. I don't know why 2 minutes earlier he said Republicans were going to cut Medicare and Social Security, because that's not true.
Because what's his name?
Just, Bill. It's not.
Is it Billy from Utah? Who's the guy who basically went on, you know, didn't even talk about sunset, talked about let's just pull the plug. So there is, I mean, and he did not say all, every time he mentioned something that he did not agree with from the other party, he said some members of the GOP, not all. And they wouldn't cut him slack on that.
But that's like saying... That's like saying the Democrats are all communists and they hate cops and they want to dissolve every police force just because a few kooks, you know, talk that way. So I don't think he had much of an argument. And that's where I do agree with the people who are just like rolling their eyes at this guy. Like, what planet is he on?
Which guy are you talking about?
I wouldn't boo and hiss. I wouldn't. I was taught to respect my elders, even if they're not quite with it anymore. And maybe especially if they're not quite with it anymore.
I disagree. I think he was with it. I think it's the best I've seen him talk. He is a talker who likes to talk and hang around. I mean, he hung out for a very long time after that speech was over.
Oh, yeah. Getting him out of the Senate is kind of like trying to get my dad out of a coffee shop in his hometown.
I mean, that's
like 20 minutes later, it's like, wait a second, I got to go say hi to the coach.
Right. I mean, that's his happy place. Yeah. It's okay. I get it.
It's where he does.
He was chattier than he needed to be, but he hit some talking points that will resonate with most people.
I disagree with the talking points, though, because he didn't address any of the things that are the things that have this country on fire right now, mainly the horrible economy that he's like, oh, look, we've created 2 million new jobs. It's like, yeah, because you squashed 3 million during the pandemic and the shutdowns. Like, those aren't new jobs. Those are people who are finally clawing their way back. And you've got an inflation rate that is ridiculous. And there's no way out of
this. But that is coming down. There is a way out of it. And we have both been around long enough to know that some of this stuff is cyclical. He was also addressing the debt ceiling and how to deal with that. And debt ceiling is just like not what you charged at Bloomingdale's this month. It's what you've been charging the last 2 years and letting it, you know, sit there. So, you know, and actually it's even longer than that. So he's just saying, let's pay our bills. And this is always, I mean, again, this is a recurring argument that happens, you know, every couple of years with the debt ceiling. So
they're all spending. Yeah, there's not a libertarian in office, and there hasn't been for about 123 years. You know, I think the last fiscally sound president we had was Calvin Coolidge. So I'll pause while people Google Calvin Coolidge. When you're in power, you spend money, right? Yeah. It's like you get a new job and we got some money to spend. Let's go out and do what we want to do. So yeah, I think the debt ceiling is just part of the dumpster fire that we're in right now. I don't know how to fix it. Neither party wants to fix it. Let's face it. It's amazing to me. You watch him speak on national TV, and you realize that even in his own party, 60% of his own party does not want him to run again for president.
I see that.
I don't blame them, because, you know, if he was living in my house, we'd take away the car keys. Let's put it that way.
Right? Wow. Harsh.
There's no way he would be in charge of anything. So I think that's the real question now is, what happens in the next year and a half? You and I have talked about this a lot. It's going to be ugly and it's going to be messy and there's going to be a lot of arguing. And I'm just fascinated by watching this unfold. I don't know that he's going to run, and I don't know that the other guy is going to run. And I think we could be in for a real roller coaster for the next year.
Well, always. I think it's par for the course now. You see people walking around in the morning. have a friend that we walk our dogs together. And she said, I used to watch the news all the time. I just don't anymore because I want my happy time.
It's an interesting idea, right? Just stop watching the news. You know, go vote 18 months from now, whoever you want to vote for, whichever party you want to vote for, and just between now and then, don't worry about it. It's an interesting strategy.
Right.
Your friend is not wrong.
I cannot completely disengage, nor can you.
Yeah.
But we did have a conversation last week, and I'm driving in my car, and I was on a news diet. I'm going to just cut news out of my, you know, daily requirement. And I was listening to the radio to actual music.
Oh, yes. What kind of music? Tell me about your musical selection.
It's all over the place. I mean, this happened to be Bill Withers' A Lovely Day. And when you're feeling like, oh, can I face another one of these? And Bill Withers comes on. It's like, it's going to be a lovely day. I mean, he's right. Pretty much prognosticating that. I listen to everything from Springsteen to The Killers to Beck to Marvin Gaye to, I don't know who, Lucinda Williams. It's a mess. The Talking Heads, Pink Martini, Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, I'm a freak. Like, don't try to program to my taste.
No, everybody you mentioned are actual talented musicians or singers or songwriters or both. And none of them won a Grammy this year.
Bonnie Raitt won one.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh, good. See, I wouldn't actually know because I cannot watch award shows.
I read it in a newspaper.
But I'm glad she won. That's good to hear. Was it like contemporary blues album or something
she
like that?
Won,
or
what like, did she win? I think like rock song or something. I'm not quite sure what it was, but
oh,
it was for a song that she did.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Of course, there were only probably three rock albums produced last year. The rest of it was non-rock. I don't know what we call this commercialized music that is popular now, but it's not rock.
Here's something for you. There was something I was reading about. Willie Nelson is one of the performers, the artist who is being considered to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is a pretty cool place. If you're in Cleveland, go see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and you will not be disappointed. There's a controversy now. Should he be inducted? Because he's not a little bit rock and roll. He's a little bit country.
Yeah.
They're saying, should he be, particularly some country fans don't even like rock and roll, but you know, that's just taste. Mm-hmm. So what do we do with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or the requirements to get into some pantheon of musical artists, seeing that there's so many people who are not rock and roll artists who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Jay-Z last year was inducted. He ain't rock and roll.
Yeah, that is not rock and roll. And I agree with Lenny Kravitz, who in 1994 said rock and roll is dead. He was right. Like, it is dead. It does not exist anymore in its current form. And I think the same thing happened to jazz around 1970-ish.
Maybe before that.
Anything after that was kind of a retro look back at jazz. And I think that's what quote-unquote rock and roll is now. I think it was Mick Jagger who said he's the lead singer of a Rolling Stones cover band now, which I find to be hysterical.
I love that. You know, all I can think of is one of my favorite films is Almost Famous, which takes place,
like
early 70s. Yeah. It's basically
Cameron Crowe. Sure.
Right. It's his story about being a kid writing for Rolling Stone. And, you know, it's sort of like the death knell. And this is the early 70s when, you know, that big arena, a big, you know, A&R type of thing happening with rock and roll artists. It was happening. And yet Lester Banks tells him, it's over. Say bye-bye.
Yeah.
And is it the corporatization of music that has led to that? Because a lot of it's pablum to me. It's not. Sometimes I'm like, am I just old? And part of it is, yeah, you are. But the other part is, where's the rebellion to it? Who's the last, you know, maybe Foo Fighters was the last sort of, you know, even.
They're the holdout.
Right.
Yeah. They're the last rock band.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, who I don't even know how to categorize them, but at least there was something subversive. I like my rock and roll a little subversive. That's me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I look at it from more of a musical end than a lyrical or poetic end. And going back to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, if you are not playing a guitar, drums, bass, or singing in something that has a guitar, drums, or bass, it's not rock and roll. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying Madonna should not be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Jay-Z should not be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Willie Nelson, love him. I think he's one of the, he's probably the greatest songwriter in the history of this country. He should not be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Country Hall of Fame, Songwriters Hall of Fame, Guitarist Hall of Fame. Yes, yes, yes. But rock and roll? Yeah,
so really did you just throw everything out? And I know inquiring minds want to know.
Do you throw everything out?
Like
meaning,
rock and roll, like just say, you know what? It doesn't really exist anymore. It was, mm-hmm. it's a passing thing. It was great while it lasted. And rather than have this show, which it's just, I mean, it's accolades for the sake of accolades. Some of these guys live these desperate, you know, lives of quiet desperation. Like nobody's buying my music. And then, you know, they're dead for 3 years. Like, yeah, let's put them in. So do we just have a Hall of Fame, like a music Hall of Fame? And that way everybody gets in, or is that diluting it too much? Because you can't have like...
That's probably where we're going. I mean, everybody gets a trophy, everybody wins, and the whole point is to sell some tickets. So, yeah, why not? I mean, it's a commercial venture, so I guess I can't knock it too bad. If the Hall of Fame wants to induct Rihanna next year or... you know, Beyonce at some point. Great. They'll probably sell a lot of tickets and get a lot of people to stream the award show. And yeah, why not? It's a business. You're looking for eyeballs and you're looking for ticket sales. Sure, go ahead. It doesn't mean what it was supposed to mean to me, I guess. Like, you know, I remember when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was invented. I think it was in the late 80s. And it was, you know, pretty much the first class was, you know, Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Johnny Cash, and Carl Perkins, right? And it's like, yeah, that's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it probably just went downhill from there, right?
But do you think now Johnny Cash would be considered rock and roll?
Well, you know, he is my all-time favorite singer. And one of the things I do like about him is for 60 years, people have been trying to put a label on him and it just, nothing has stuck, right? He was a rock and roll guy in the 50s. Then in the 60s, he was a country guy because he wasn't cool enough to be rock and roll. And then in the 70s, he was an outlaw, right? And then in the 90s, he had one of the biggest alternative radio hits of all time with his cover of Nine Inch Nails' Hurt.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, the guy was 70 something years old and they still couldn't quite put a label on him. And there are some interesting artists like that now, or maybe they will be like that in another 40 years or something.
See, that person for me is Beck.
Oh,
He's so visionary.
Yeah.
I mean, he mm-hmm. will play in any genre and it's like, wow, why don't more people do that?
Yeah. And I would say, you know, I'm not too hip on anybody younger than Beck. I think that's about the time rock and roll died, right? But, you know, you look at like a Taylor Swift. I think she was a country person, mm-hmm. right? And now she's pop star, arena pop icon who sells a billion records and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, who knows what she's going to do? Back to Willie Nelson, look at him. Who would have ever thought when we were kids that Willie Nelson was still going to be so popular and cool when he was 90 years old?
I know.
I would not have guessed that because he was, I mean, that was my dad's music. That wasn't even my music. And another one along the same lines is America's treasure, Dolly Parton.
Dolly, love
right?
her.
Like, who does it? Like, people who can't stand country music love Dolly Parton. Right? She's America's treasure. I don't know how else to describe her.
Plus, people are talking about authentic. She is authentic. I mean, maybe not all her parts are authentic, and we can talk about some of that later too. However, she has got a big heart. She does so much outreach and so much, she puts so much good in the world. We need more of those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about her surgeries.
You're not there for the surgeries or the face tightening or whatever else is going on.
I'm not here to judge, but there's a whole lot of that going on right now. I mean,
and some of it really, really bad. We mentioned Madonna earlier. Holy, Holy.
So what is going on? Because I feel like some of these faces that I'm seeing that don't, not only do they not really look like the person in their original form, they don't look human and they look worse. Well,
I have a theory that she had Marilyn Manson killed and stole his face and had it put on her face.
This is how rumors get started.
Silence of the Lambs style. Yeah, I heard that somewhere. So now someone can actually say, you know, I heard on a podcast.
No, we're not doing that. But I looked at her and I felt badly. I'm like, here's a woman, really successful musical career, gobs of money, never going to, what's she worth, like $800 million or something like that? I mean, she's worth a ton of money. She's had incredible opportunity. She's been able to have a platform. And I looked at her, I'm like, I just feel badly for you. What's going on? And why do doctors let people do that?
Cha-ching.
Bums me out.
I wish I had the sound effect from Pink Floyd's Money, because, I mean, that's the reason, right? Ring that cash register.
I know. And also I'm thinking, because I've seen so many actors and actresses who have more money and they should know better. Like, I don't mind if you go out and get the surgery, but could you get some good surgery? Like, you can afford it.
You would think a Madonna level would be able to afford the best, but maybe that's just kind of not the case.
And those fillers, they're there to, those harden up. Like, you're not getting rid of those easily. Just saying.
So it's actually a good reminder to all the kids out there, just don't do it. Just take care of yourself and you won't have to do that someday.
Right? Don't smoke. We're asking you kids, don't smoke.
Yeah.
I know it's hard. Yeah. Don't do a lot of heavy drinking.
Don't smoke. Take it easy on the drinks, right? Don't do anything else, and you won't have to steal Marilyn Manson's face and have it plastered on your own someday.
And as Frances McDormand said in Almost Famous, don't do drugs. And
you know,
mom.
Pretty good advice for the young rock and rollers. You know, I mean, you know, we joke about the Rolling Stones. Sir Mick is now 81 years old this year. Paul McCartney will be 81 years old. Now, I'm guessing they smoked a little weed back in the day.
You think?
I am also guessing to be 81 and still jumping around on stage, there probably wasn't a lot of other chemicals floating around the Mick Jagger household throughout most of his career. You know, the 70s might have been a little rough, but I think once he grew up, I think he has been a pretty healthy dude who gets a lot of exercise.
Yeah, I think so. So we talked about some of my musical likes, but Jack, what are some of yours?
It kind of depends on the day. I vary from Johnny Cash, we mentioned, mostly sort of blues-based old rock, Led Zeppelin, Beatles, Stones, that kind of thing. That's kind of my go-to. Most of my musical life was spent in sort of the grunge world of the early 90s. So I still, you know, and I like that that has become sort of the quote unquote oldies for a generation, right? You know, the Four Horsemen, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Soundgarden, and Alice in Chains, those are kind of the cornerstones of music for the past 30 years. And there are kids who were born, you know, 15 years ago, walking around in Nirvana t-shirts. And that makes me happy. I like
that.
Well,
it's interesting, some of the music that people are picking up, like young kids are really getting into. Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill, Stranger Things,
biggest
right?
Biggest song of the year last year. Yeah.
It's only,
yeah,
what, absolutely. 50 years and old or something. I mean, it's like from 1980, I don't know, maybe 40 odd years old. Yeah. But that's crazy.
I think it was 1984, yeah. So, but when I was their age, and everything kind of goes in cycles, as you said earlier about politics, music is the same way. When I was in high school, there was a huge resurgence of quote unquote oldies, which at the time was like 60s music. And everyone was listening to Motown and
the Birds,
Beatles, yeah. And yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it had to do with the movies in the 80s, right? Dirty Dancing. And
Stand
all
by
of the
Me,
movies that,
and
yeah, Stand yeah, by yeah. Me, yeah. And The Big Chill, right? And it was all like the 60s music just lasted for decades. And I think that's what we're seeing with, you know, some of the stuff from the 80s and 90s. That's where music to a lot of people just kind of peaked in the way that Hollywood peaked in a certain age, you know, the golden era or whatever. A lot of people think television peaked in the 90s. And that's why we have a generation of kids now who watch The Office and Friends and Seinfeld and shows like that that are all 15 to 20 years old now. I mean, it's all kind of everything gets recycled.
Do you think, too, with some of these shows that, you know, early on, like maybe the 60s, it was more about family, Andy Griffin and Dick Van Dyke that, right? And then it became workplace, more workplace. And then in the 90s, it was basically friend-centered, your community.
Friend-centered.
So are these kids onto something about perhaps it's I don't have a community and I can watch Rachel and Ross and Monica and, you know, Phoebe, you know, watch right. them like.
Why go have friends? They're nothing but problems. Just watch friends. Right.
Right. But it does put you in this world where, you know, hey, we hang out in the coffee shop and that's how we meet. I mean, they spent so much time in that coffee shop. Did they actually work? I don't think I ever saw them work, really.
None of them worked, and there's no way any of them afforded any of those apartments in New York City in the 90s.
I think Monica's was her aunt's, and it was rent-controlled. I think that might have been that.
Let's geek out on 90s TV a little bit. I think it was her grandfather's, and it was her grandmother's, right? But, you know, across the hall, you had an out-of-work actor. Come on. Seriously. But I think maybe that is sort of like a dream for the current generation of kids watching these shows that those all took place 30 years ago and it might as well have been 100 years ago, right? It's all fantasy world because many of those things just don't exist anymore.
Yeah, you never meet anybody without having your cell phone with you.
Right.
To check in three or four times. Are we
all
still
of those show? Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that funny? You watch any old show and it's instantly dated by the technology, even more to me, it's even more than the fashion or the music or the cars or something like that. Like when you see Jerry Seinfeld pull out the cordless phone with the retractable antenna.
Yes. Right?
And, you know, that really just dates that show as, oh, that was 1992. Got it.
Right. And Joey and Chandler had to watch their porn by getting like a VHS from Blockbuster rather than just having it on their laptops.
Yeah.
It's like, kids, this is how we used to do it.
Yeah. I remember there was an episode too where they got a quote unquote big screen TV, right? And it was probably a, you know, 45-inch TV. And they were commenting how huge it was, you know, oh my God, look at the size of that screen. And now it's like your typical bar, coffee shop, hotel lobby has a 72-inch screen TV up on the wall, right? It's just
my husband is lobbying.
We are so dated by it. I'm with him. I'm here to help lobby your husband. Well,
I might have to. We have a problem with our TV. One, it's not a smart TV. So that's why I still haven't seen Yellowstone, because I can only get certain, it will say free to me. It's like, thank you, Verizon.
Ah,
it's like,
right.
But these five episodes, which are not in chronological order, they're not in the same year. It's like, okay, you get this one from season three. I want to watch it from the beginning. It's still on my watch list.
Watch it from the beginning, buy it, download it, whatever you have to do to get it. But yeah, watch it from the beginning. If you try to start somewhere in the middle, it's not good. No. I say the same with my other favorite show in the history of television, The Sopranos.
Oh, man.
And you really have to watch it from start to end. You can't. Every once in a while, I'll just pop on an episode when I'm on an airplane or something. And it's like, you start watching and it's like, wait a second, who's already dead? I need a scorecard to know what deal just went down that is impacting this conversation. So yeah, some of these shows are not, it's not a, you know, friend, we talked about Friends and Seinfeld and things like that. You can pick up one of those anywhere and just start. It doesn't matter.
Right?
But the Yellowstones of the world and things like that, you really need to go in order, or you're spending too much time jumping on, you know, a website or Wikipedia or something, trying to figure out, wait a second, who is this guy?
Well, I'm going to have to go through the Succession catalog a little bit because they have a new season.
There isn't really a good guy. You know, there's no Captain America in any of these shows. There's no Batman. There's a lot of flawed people, and some of them do better things than others. And maybe that's a little bit what life is like right now. I think there's back to my eternal optimism. There are always some good qualities, even in people who have fallen and have really effed up. Right. And, you know, we can make fun of them on a podcast, but one of them is going to rise back up and they're going to do something good.
And if the world works the way I think both of us would like it to work, maybe all of them or most of them will rise up into something better. I like to think we evolve. I'd like to think it only goes one way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also a little bit of hope for somebody who just effed up yesterday. You're not down and out. This too shall pass. You can rise again.
We hope redemption is just a day away. I feel like Annie now. I just feel so warm and tingly right now. So I do want to leave with one thing that, you know, I don't want to end on a down note, but I want to encourage people to do what they need to do. I know locally we have the consulate in Boston, and people in Syria and Turkey are, of course, hurting. I think it's almost 12,000 people who have lost their lives in these tremendous earthquakes. People want to do something. There's not much we can do, but maybe blankets and diapers and coats and anything that we can offer, personal care items. They really need them. Get in touch with your local consulate and see how you can be part of the solution. Maybe it's your road to redemption.
There you go. Help somebody else. And maybe it will maybe not get your way into wherever you want to get someday, but it will make you feel better about it. And I'm 100% behind that as well. That is a part of the world that has seen a lot of trouble in the past couple of decades. And here we go again with, people getting hit when they're already down. So, yeah, I agree. Anything we can all do to help our friends over there would be a good place to start.
So do you feel better now?
I feel way better. I felt better coming into this. I felt good coming into
this. Yes.
I think we just got to keep moving forward. And like I said, regardless of what goes on in the world and who's leading your state or country or whatever, you just got to do your thing every day and not worry too much about what your senator said to your governor or any of that stuff. That's somebody else's politics and nonsense. I'm feeling myself falling back into your friend that you mentioned who just stopped watching the news and started listening to music every day. That's probably a good strategy.
If all else fails, turn up that volume, dance your heart out. I like to say dance like nobody's watching, but a few people have told me that perhaps I would like to think that a few people are watching.
It's 2023. Everyone is always watching.
Ooh. Well, on that note, my friend, another one in the can.
All right. Thanks so much. I look forward to chatting again soon.
Thanks, Jack. And that's a wrap for this week. Thank you for listening. And reminder that you can help the victims of the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria with your donations. Of course, money's always great. But there's a great need for tangible goods as well, and you can go to your local consulate in your city to find out where you can drop these or mail these items in. So what they need are blankets, tents, sleeping bags, pocket warmers, winter clothing like jackets and gloves and hats, over-the-counter medications for flus and colds, and painkillers as well. You can also get in touch with organizations like rescue.org, also doctorswithoutborders.org, and of course, unicefusa.org. Any help, I'm sure, is appreciated, much needed. Thanks. If you like what you hear in Embark, share this episode with a friend, tell a few people about it, and please subscribe. You can share your opinions, comments, questions with me at liz@embarkthepodcast.com. We know you have many choices during your very busy week, and I thank you for choosing to spend some of your time with us. Have a great week.